Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone of WCBI Sports. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Just Brian Haydad here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining me here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. Appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way. The trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming back. It's making a comeback. You know what I'm talking about. If you're not in Starkville, if you're not in Tupelo, no problem. Just head over to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Get it delivered right to your door. You can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning with a trip to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. It's what's for dinner tonight in the Haydad household. We're doing a... You know those P5s? You ever get a P5 at the... I don't know why it's called P5, but you ever get one of those at the Mexican restaurant where it's just rice, meat, little cheese dip over the top? We're going to do that tonight. I got a flank steak that's marinating right now. We'll do that and throw a little corn in there for volume, you know. You got to have high volume when you're eating, trying to save calories. And it's a great weeknight meal, and it's going to take me maybe 30 minutes to put everything together. That's what you're looking for, the kind of convenience and delicious food that you're looking for. Make beef the ingredient of choice each and every weeknight. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. Everything Mississippi State, everything maroon and white, right there at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flow by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Whatever you're looking for in Mississippi State, they've got it at College Corner. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now, more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. Well, you need to talk to the people at Priority One Bank, bankers that know you by name, not just by your account number, bankers you can trust, bankers that are going to give you a level of service you're only going to get at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you there. Priority. A little later in the show, we'll do an opponent preview. The South Carolina Gamecocks are on tap today, and that's with our friend Lulu Kaysen from the Greenville News. She's been on the podcast before. She's back again. It's fun doing these previews. This one and then the one I'll do. I got Minnesota lined up for later today. That'll be on tomorrow's pod. It's so fun to do them. Like, all right, talk to you again in a couple weeks. But that is the nature of the beast. But first, let's talk about my absolute favorite thing. Nothing I love more. Then to start off the college football season, the tradition, the pageantry, the legalities, the injunctions, the temporary restraining orders, the judges, the lawyers, it just gets me fired up. Well, I don't know. So let's start with the news that broke yesterday, courtesy of a friend of the show, Sam Sklar from the Clarion Ledger, who has been a guest host on this show before. That Mississippi State has begun to pursue legal action. I guess I should say it like it's not Mississippi State that's doing it. It is the players in conjunction, I guess, with Mississippi State. But Jerron Manning and Malik Silla have filed for a temporary restraining order in the Oktibbeha County Chancery Court to basically get their eligibility for this year. Now, a lot going on regarding eligibility in college football. Right now, we're all seeing what's happening over at LSU. If you don't laugh, by the way, at these Ole Miss fans who are just like, I can't believe I Lane Kiffin. Yeah, you know, like, guys, you knew all of this. This should not be a surprise. I knew it as an outsider. How did you not know? The guy will do anything it takes. He'll do whatever it takes to win, and then he'll go whatever it takes plus. And yet, you know, 8 months ago, if that guy told you to jump off a bridge, you'd have been like, which one? Anyway. So you have all these, this thing going on with the SEC where there's like, we can't have former pro players. Now, it makes an interesting question with Jerron Manning, who was at an NFL training camp. I believe some exception is being granted for guys who did not actually get contract. So if you got a training camp, when you get a training camp invite, you're not guaranteed anything. You're not given a contract. You don't sign anything other than, you know, I guess some waivers or something, but it's a chance to make the team. And then if you get through training camp, that first, you know, undrafted free agent camp, and they're like, all right, we do want to keep you around. You sign something, and then you're on contract. That's what happened, you know, I think with Daquan Wright. He went through the camp, and they were like, yep, we're keeping him. And now they cut him, and all indications are he asked to be cut. Can you imagine? You're a high school football player. Your goal in life is to get to the NFL. That's what you want. I want to get to the NFL. You get to the NFL, and they're like, and you tell them, eh, I can make more money back in college for another year. Let me do that. And look, I get the whole – the NCAA absolutely screwed the pooch on this, which, by the way, if you follow the NCAA at all, is zero surprise. They can't do anything right. They are an inept and poorly run organization, which explains why they went to Congress for help, because inept, poorly run organizations like to work together. They should have just issued a blanket waiver back in January. Before all of this happened, said, like, look, we're going to do 5 for 5. You know, they didn't just come up with it 2 weeks ago. They could have avoided all this, but they didn't. From what I have been told, from what I can gather, and we're going to have Ross Dellinger later on today on Sports Talk Mississippi. Hopefully he can give us a little clarity on this. I will be in complete agony the whole time, but I'll listen. There is some sort of exception being made for players like Manning, who went to a undrafted camp, didn't make the team, and then they're back in. All right, Malik Sylla didn't make any team, I believe. I don't think he took any. I could be wrong on that. I don't remember seeing his name as a guy who got an undrafted free agent spot. Those guys, as we've talked about here on the show, they have been practicing with this team for the past week or past 2 weeks, I guess. And now the legal wheels are in motion. If previous court cases are any indication, they will be found eligible. They will play this year. I would expect them at this point to be on the roster for Mississippi State. It goes back to what I've been saying the past couple days. We had a rumblings question about it just yesterday. Lebby, Selman, the whole the university, the football side, however you want to look at it, had to have some sort of idea that these guys were going to be made eligible, that these guys were going to have a chance to win this, to be declared eligible. Otherwise, you would not waste the reps and the time in practice with them if you didn't think they were going to be able to play. Simple as that. So, you know, for me, bringing in Jerron Manning to this secondary, which I think is already the strength of this defense, maybe the strength of this team, you've got two all-SEC guys back there in Jones and Smith. You got plenty of SEC experience back there with Jordan Gilbert and Kendall Dolby. You got a guy in Marcus Williams who's played a ton of college football. You got a 4/5-star freshman back there that everybody's excited to see in Braylon Womack. Now you bring in Jerron Manning, an experienced, proven player who was good for Mississippi State a year ago. This is one of the best secondaries in the SEC. I'll just say it. They have as much depth as anybody. They may not have as much like top tier talent as a Georgia or an Alabama, but 1 through 8, who's got more guys than Mississippi State? They've played a ton of major college football. And you've got some high upside guys. Like, I think Jet Jefferson can be a high upside guy. Obviously, Womack would fit into that as well. So, really strong there. Malik Sylla adds to your pass rush. This was the guy who was your leading tackle for loss guy. Second in sacks. And look, second in sacks last year isn't really a big deal. He had 2. All right, the leader had 2.5. Nick Mitchell was the leader. But that's under Coleman Hutzler. Under Zach Arnett, with the way he's been able to scheme up getting after the quarterback, I would expect that number, I expect State's leading sacker to have maybe triple that number this year, be closer to 7 sacks or something like that, and maybe have 2 or 3 guys with 4 or 5 sacks. So it can absolutely be one of those. The fact that they've been practicing this whole time leads me to believe that, yeah, week 1, they can be ready to go. And, you know, week 2 and 3, they can be players and maybe even starters for you. So it's all positive from a Mississippi State perspective. Now, I want to say something here that, you know, just for me, am I the old man shaking his fist at the cloud? Maybe just a little bit here, right, guys? I don't know if this is right or not, from a right or wrong perspective. They have changed this rule, but you know, does everybody get to be, you know, retroactively? I just wish the NCAA would do the right thing at this point, which is like, you know, wishing, you know, for the sky to turn green. But I really wish the NCAA would just give everybody the waiver at this point. Outside of the former pros, I do agree. If you signed to play, if you signed a contract with a professional organization, that's the end. And I don't want to hear, about, well, they're pros here. They're not. They're not. Pros have a union. Pros sign contracts that are guaranteed both ways. In other words, yeah, we'll pay you, but you can't just leave at the end of the year. Pros have to negotiate. They have collective bargaining. None of that is happening. This is not professional football. It is still college football. Hell, at the end of the day, they do have to take at least one class. Now, it may be a crap class. You got Lenora Sellers at the driving range all season long, but that's irrelevant. They have to do something. It's not just I do football for my job. It's I have to take this class. I have to try to keep some kind of eligibility. There's some rumors around Daquan Wright that middle of last, you know, his last season at Ole Miss, he was just like, eh, I'm done. And so eligibility might even be an issue there, which is incredible, but whatever. But I can't blame him at the same time. He thought his football playing career was over at Ole Miss, and he's like, well, I can move on to the next thing. What do I care if I go to class? I get it. So, you know, morally, I might just be a little gray area here for me. But at the same time, you know, and I think this is true about just about everybody. If it benefits the team, I'm going to probably be for it, right? And I know a lot of Ole Miss people are like, well, you know, this thing is happening at LSU. If these guys were coming back to Ole Miss, you would be like, you know, can we put a sign up in the Grove to welcome? And don't try to convince me that you would. I know that that's not true. So, from a state perspective, bringing back Manning, bringing back Cilla, only a positive. And like I said, with them having been on the practice field, basically since the 3 or 4 days into practice, they were there. And they missed like the first two or three, but I think by that first weekend, they were on the practice field. They would have scrimmaged both of the scrimmages. You got to think they'll be game ready, game one. You know, I won't be totally surprised if Jerron Manning is now in the starting lineup for Mississippi State. Cilla, we'll have to wait and see. I know people – I've been hearing a lot of good stuff about Amari Williams coming out of that jack position, but Cilla can certainly provide some depth there. So, it's a process. Nothing has been declared by the court. It would be the most Mississippi State thing ever to be the Octibaha County Court, to be the one court in the country that goes, no, I don't think these guys should be eligible at all. That's the true maroon outcome there, isn't it? I don't think that will happen, but nothing would surprise me anymore. So that's what you have. That was the news that broke. It broke like right as the show was ending yesterday, Sports Talk Mississippi. Then a little later in the evening, more news from Mississippi State as West Virginia transfer defensive lineman Eddie Kelly has signed with Mississippi State. Now, here's a guy. Let me go full Collinsworth here. Hold on. Here's a guy. His numbers at West Virginia last year were not great. 25 tackles, 1.5 tackles for loss, a half sack. But the previous 2 years, by the way, this will be his fifth college in 5 years. Started at South Florida, then to Georgia Tech, then to Missouri, and then to West Virginia. At Missouri and Georgia Tech, his stats were pretty good. 5 tackles for a loss at Georgia Tech in 2023, and Missouri, 4.5 tackles for a loss, combined 2.5 sacks, combined 58 tackles total. Could be a good depth piece. My question, obviously, is going to be, the first game is in 10 days. How much can he really give you? You know, what's he been doing the last 6 months? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But at the same time, as I was saying with Cilla, I'll take whatever I can get defensive line depth for Mississippi State. They need as many players there as they can possibly get. And so this guy, if you can get what he gave Georgia Tech and Missouri, you've added a good piece that provides depth and provides some pass rush and some ability to play, be disruptive, which in this Arnett defense is so key. You can't be against it. I would ask the question, how much can you really expect from a guy coming in with 10 days to go before the first game? Has been through, you know, no part of preseason camp with you at any point. I don't know the answer to that question. You know, obviously, if you're Jeff Lebby, it's kind of a no-lose thing, though, isn't it? Like, you bring him in, and if it doesn't work out, well, it doesn't work out. But if it does, great. It's fantastic. But if it doesn't work out at the same time, it's like, you know, he was the last guy on the roster. It'll be fine. So Interesting to see that, you know, the state. How late are we going to go with these roster additions? I was talking to some friends of mine today, and they're like, "Are we going to see like some waiver wire kind of stuff where it's like during the season, guys are going to continue to get added? You know, you get somebody hurt, you go to the, well, he's still got some eligibility. Are you in shape? Yeah, come on in," kind of thing. I don't know the answer to that. It's the weirdest offseason ever. I stand by what I said on Sports Talk yesterday, though. It's like once the games start, we'll stop caring. Like once the game starts, you're like, I don't care. I don't care how who these guys got on the field. I don't care. You know, Borky wanted to argue that point with me. I think he's wrong. And I think that most college football fans, once they're watching a game, they could care less for the most part. Will some Ole Miss fans, you know, if Daquan Wright scores a good touchdown against Ole Miss, will they lose it? Yes, they will. But by and large, for the most part, once the games start, we just worry about the games. Worry about the games, worry about the results. And I think that's definitely the way that we would prefer it here. So I'll try to keep up with the legalities of it as best we can. Should I get a lawyer? You guys let me know. Should I bring a lawyer on that's like guys, I want to hear about this. I want you to describe this like I am five. I have no idea why these guys should be eligible. I don't understand, but maybe we'll do that. Maybe we won't. See, the problem with it is next week is game week. I don't really want to do it. It boils down to personal preference at this point. I'd rather just talk about college football next week, like the actual football. No, not this other stuff. Gosh, I saw a tweet the other day. It was kind of funny. And look, again, you guys know I am pro NIL. I am pro transfer portal. They've reached the point where they're losing me, right? But I have been pro, like, let these guys have freedom of movement. They can be just like any other student that wants to change colleges. As long as your transcript is in order, go ahead. I thought that, you know, it doesn't make sense for guys to make money for the university and not be able to get a cut of that. I've always thought that. But somebody tweeted the other day, is like, who would have ever guessed that paying players illegally under the table and breaking NCAA rules was actually the better system? It kind of was. It kind of was. Like, maybe we could have just found it. There had to be an easier way to do this. And it's the NCAA's and the conference's fault. They could have easily found amicable solutions to all of this, but they decided to hold out because they were just thought, oh, no, we'll never get it. They'll never figure it out. And they did. And here we are. So you don't want to know who to blame. Don't blame the players. Don't blame the players. You know, what did Booker T say? Don't hate the player, hate the game. It's the conferences. They're the ones that did this to us. So that said, this Saturday, when I'm watching games, I'm not going to be thinking about any of this. And next Saturday, when I'm watching games, I'm not going to be thinking about any of this. I'm not going to care about it. I hope that you are the same way. All right, let's move into our opponent preview. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the Older Brother in the Cotton District. Two fantastic places to grab lunch, to grab dinner, to enjoy a late evening, to watch college football, to just hang out. Two fantastic places. The Older Brother, I keep telling you guys, that dinner service at the Older Brother, like the lunch is awesome, right? The sandwiches, top-notch. You can't get anything like that anywhere else. But their dinner, some really unique dishes, some stuff you're not going to find anywhere else, a great steak. That half-chicken dish that I got the other day was delicious. Really, really good. I've been thinking about that. I may have to go back and get it soon. I've also had their lobster ravioli dish. Fantastic. Really, really good stuff. Great service, great people over there. If you want to enjoy a fantastic meal in the Cotton District anytime soon, check out Two Brothers and the Older Brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years. I actually let a 50 go today because I saw that the SEC announced in this whole thing of what punishments they'll give to schools if they play ineligible players. And they're going to take 50% of the sports operating budget. And I just looked at it, I was like, 50? So there we go. Yes, 50 years, though. Advantage Business Systems, copiers, printers, computers, laptops, mailing systems, information systems. What does your business need? Give Advantage Business Systems a call. Let them hook you up with the right product, but more importantly, the promise of service long after the sale. You can trust them to be there for you when things go wrong. That's how they've been able to stay open as long as they have. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon and Co., that's the place to go. We are so close to the start of the college football season here. You're going to be in Starkville. I know how it is, man. I'm a dad. I got a wife. I got two daughters. They're always like, can we go shopping? What was it? The Nutty Professor, women be shopping. They do. I like to go shopping too. I like to go. I don't mind picking out a brand new maroon and white polo. I promise you that. So I'm always going to go to Maroon & Co. because they have the best selection and they have the best deals because they have my promo code, Thunder15. Thunder15 takes 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. I haven't found those exclusions. I don't go looking for them either. Next time you're in Starkville, before you go to the game, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. First off, quick happy birthday to the boss man over at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. It's his birthday today. Today as we're recording, not today as you're listening, but to Big Jonathan over there. Appreciate you as always. Look forward to seeing you in a couple months when we're up there for our remote. And, you know, guys, I can't tell you all the time, it's going to be hot outside. There's college football on the TV. You want to get that yard in done. You want it done quickly. You need a John Deere mower, a John Deere zero turn, maybe a John Deere compact tractor if you've got the huge tract of land. Whatever it is, John Deere Green gets your lawn looking the best and gets it done quickly, and they got great deals at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. So you should go talk to them as soon as you can. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo, they have what you want for less. Good Hope Land and Timber, if you are a landowner in the state of Mississippi, Good Hope Land and Timber is here to help you. So if you need advice, if you need service managing your land, managing your timber, managing anything with your land, give Good Hope Land and Timber a call today. And if you're trying to buy or sell land, Good Hope Land and Timber can make that purchase happen for you as well. Doesn't matter how big or small the tract of land you're looking for is, Good Hope Land and Timber is absolutely there to help you. They're experts in their field. Make them experts in your field with a quick phone call. 601-442-9888 or visit them online, g-hope.com. Locally trusted, landowner approved, Good Hope Land and Timber. Just saw this on the Twitter. The bottom line ticker being removed for college football broadcast. It makes sense at this point, right? If I want a score, I can find it online. Like I can look on my phone and find a score a lot faster than waiting on the thing to scroll through. And they said it gives us a little bit more room to have the broadcast on. I'm for it. So rest in peace, the bottom line, though. That was elite technology back in the day that you could just be like, all right. But yeah, it's kind of like if you're an old person, you remember like the preview channel where they had all the, you know, they had the TV guide channel, and if you missed it, you're like, oh, you gotta sit there and wait. And the nostalgia, I wish Carlo were here to talk about the TV guide channel and about the bottom line and how revolutionary it was that if you just waited a few minutes, your score would come up there. My favorite bottom line moment is I was in New Orleans. It was the night of the Snow Bowl. It was the night before the Snow Bowl, I guess. State was in a tournament in basketball where they play in Arizona, and they beat them. And I remember that coming across the bottom line, and we all went crazy. I was with a bunch of State fans. We were like, oh, my God, we beat Arizona? What? Because, you know, no cell phone to keep up with that. No way to keep up with that game. And that's one of my bottom line memories. So, all right, let's do an opponent preview. Lulu Kesson is going to join the podcast right now. She covers the Gamecocks for the Greenville News. Huge game for both of these teams, obviously. So let's talk about it. All of our interviews here on the show brought to you by our friends over at Allura Modern Wellness. College football season is here. And if you're like me, it takes a lot out of you. Watching those games can be stressful. Maybe it's time to book a little recovery time, a little you time at Allura Modern Wellness. Maybe if you want to talk about the escape robotic massage, just get in there and let the stress melt away. Or maybe it's take a little bit of a stretch, or maybe some heat or some cold, just taking a few minutes for yourself. Recovery, it's so important to keeping you healthy. Allura Modern Wellness are the masters of recovery. They can help you feel better. Give them a call today at 662-268-9255, or you can visit them online at AlluraModernWellness.com. You can book all of their services and learn everything you need to know right there online, AlluraModernWellness.com. Allura Modern Wellness brings you this interview with Lulu Kesson of the Greenville News. We are coming down here to the end of our opponent previews, which means some of these people we're seeing this week, we'll see them again in a few weeks when we actually have to talk about these games. But Lulu Kesson joins us now, covers the Gamecocks for the Greenville News. And we'll start with the injury questions, because it feels like South Carolina, maybe more than anybody in the SEC, this offseason camp has not been kind to them. The big names, Jacarius Peak and Dylan Stewart, what's the status on those guys? Do they expect them to be ready for this Week 3 game?
Yeah, if I had to guess, I would say yes, based on what I'm hearing and based on, you know, what Shane has said. He just talked about an hour or so ago, talked about, you know, he was kind of honest in the sense of like contact is the next big milestone zone they sort of have to hit. We've seen some practice, not a lot. They haven't really participated at all. Peak was walking around without even shoes on, and Dylan has just sort of been off to the side. Rest is kind of the key thing for him right now. I have a hard time believing they wouldn't play against Mississippi State, giving the importance of that game and it still being week three. Yeah, it's early, but at the same time, I just kind of feel like the vibe is maybe rest extra a little bit week one and two and be ready for three. But of course, classic college football, there's never really anything certain or specific given on injuries.
Yeah, no question about that. If you're doing good, if you can get an upper body or lower body out of some
Exactly.
people most days. So with this South Carolina team, it feels like they have some really good pieces. I think that the addition of Kendall Briles and what he can do as a play caller, we all saw what he was able to do at Arkansas with a quarterback who I like, KJ Jefferson, Mississippi kid. Lenore Sellers is more talented than KJ Jefferson was. It feels like this is a team that has a high ceiling, but there's also a low floor. This is a team that it could just go the way it went a season ago. Am I right in my assessment there? Do you think this is a team that, hey, they could find a way to win eight or nine games, but they could also win four games and have a new coach?
Absolutely. I think that's really accurate. I do think it, as of right now, my feelings, lean a little bit more towards, okay, they could win eight or nine games. Of course, unfortunately, given, the depth in some spaces, they could be one or two serious injuries away from winning only four. You never know what's going to happen. But I think this team absolutely has the pieces. It just depends on how quickly they all mesh, because that is the risk that coaches kind of gamble with. When you build a lot through the transfer portal, like, yes, there's a team chemistry element. Of course, it's not the same as maybe a basketball team when it's five players sharing one ball on the court. It's a little bit different when you have football, but it's still, I think Kendall Briles, he's going to bring a new light to the offense. And I think that was the biggest thing across the board, right? Yes, they have to protect Lenoris better. Yes, the O-line has to be better. Yes, they have to run the football a lot better than they did. But overall, it seems like KB, as they call him, is kind of breathing more life into the room and into the offense and into a quarterback that has a lot of potential and just took a step back last year for what I see as a number of reasons.
I look at this game, and this is maybe the two most exciting quarterbacks in the conference from an athleticism standpoint. Sellers is obviously a little further down the road, a little bit more mature than Kamario Taylor is, but it feels like this could be a game where big play after big play, and most of the nation's going to be tuning in for Ole Miss LSU a little later that evening. But this is a game kind of under the radar that it's really big for both teams, and I think this could be a big play, big score kind of game.
Absolutely. And I was talking with Sam, the reporter for the USA Today network that I work with, about this game, and we both kind of agreed that, it's a coin flip in a way. I see it being really close, and you have two coaches that, there's a lot of, I wouldn't say a lot on the line, but just a lot going into this year for both of them. And you have, like you said, two really great quarterbacks that have a lot to prove. And I think both, programs showed obviously some bad, but flashes still of good in 2025. And when, even just like you mentioned, the stake of it being week three, and no one's going to be talking about it, right? With the whole Lane Kiffin Ole Miss LSU situation. So I think it's going to make up for kind of like a classic, really great football game. When you have two quarterbacks that want to completely wipe away all that happened in the SEC last year, and the best way to do that is a week, SEC opening win. And Lenoris not only didn't get that last year, but didn't even play the second half against Vanderbilt. So that's, all added layers to exactly your point, where I think it's shaping up to be a really good game.
I feel like, and we know the South Carolina has with Sellers at the wide receiver position. Nick Harbor, really good player. Bennett has had some experience there. Nitro Tuggle, we'll see how he works out. He's an all-name team guy. We had a segment on this show when he was at Georgia that people still talk about when we're talking about Nitro Tuggle. But at the running back position, that Browse offense, it's a run-first offense. Rocket Sanders, who of course ended up at South Carolina, but he was so good at Arkansas when Kendall Browse was there. Who are the running backs for this Gamecock team? Do they have a guy who can be that kind of running back for them?
Yeah, last week Beamer was kind of talking about those position battles, and he, I think, of any coach, is really cautious to be very general when talking about the depth chart. But he sort of wants somebody to break away in that competition. He wants somebody to assert themselves, so that, that we can't say no to you as that number one guy. I have always sort of had my eye on Christian Clark from Texas, just because I think that regardless of how much you played in the SEC, if you've run the ball in the SEC, that's valuable experience, and that's experience that is going to carry, you know, with you through the transfer portal. I think he's had a good camp so far. He seems like a very lively and kind of sure of himself kind of guy, fun to talk to. But obviously, fans really love Matthew Fuller here. He's somebody that had a 72-yard touchdown, I think it was, against LSU last year, but then wasn't really utilized once again, even that game. So I think, you know, when I talked to Shane in June, he said that he thinks this is the strongest running back room he has. And I understand, you know, obviously there's a coach speak element of that, but I see his point in the sense that there was kind of a weird drop off last year where he, you know, put a lot of pressure and sort of betted on, you know, Rasul Faison having a good year, and he sort of just underperformed, and he was older, and then the people behind him just weren't producing as well. So I think I would have to say, you know, naming names, it's probably a lot of Matthew Fuller, a lot of, you know, a lot of Christian Clark, could be some Jaron Howell. There's, you know, Isaiah Augustave, I think is how you say his last name. He could, you know, peep in there too, but I think those are sort of the top two that right now I would expect to make the biggest impact on the field.
We all know the name Dylan Stewart on that South Carolina defense, one of the best pass rushers in the country. Mississippi State has the unfortunate privilege of, in two of their first three games, they're going to play Anthony Smith at Minnesota and then Dylan Stewart, two of the top pass rushers in the country. But who are the other names to know on this Gamecock defense? This is a defense that has a lot of experience coming back from a season ago. Who are the playmakers for them?
Yeah, specifically, I'll talk about Julian Walker first. And he's somebody, one of my best friends covered Michigan and covered him out of high school. And the second that he flipped was like, have fun. He is so fun to watch. And we met him, and he's listed as 6'6". He said he grew half an inch over the summer, and I don't doubt that. He looks more towards, you know, 6'7". And he just seems like a type of guy that's been really impressive in camp. He talked a lot about not wanting to make freshman mistakes. And to some degree, they're bound to happen. And sometimes when you think too much about preventing them, they happen. But he does seem to have a good head on his shoulders, mature. I think even, you know, opposite or in place of Dylan, depending on how much he's playing, could be an absolute, you know, game changer this year. And I think across the board, the defense needed to get older, and they did. You know, Fred J.R. Johnson, a linebacker, had a really good year, but just wasn't old enough in my eyes to be as consistent as they needed him to be. And you're returning, you know, Justin Okoronkwo, who is from Oklahoma or Alabama, excuse me, and he's older. I think this defense, you know, Gabriel Brownlow Dindy is somebody that's been on the, you know, the defensive line for a bit, and he's an A&M kid turned South Carolina. Like, they have some older guys, like you mentioned, and last year they just were really young in some key spots that I think they've aged up a little bit now. But definitely, I would predict early signs. I think Julian Walker could have a really big year specifically.
You know, as I mentioned a second ago, Mississippi State at Minnesota the week before this game. So the Bulldogs kind of have a little bit of test before they have to come to South Carolina. South Carolina's first two games are probably their two most winnable games of the season. We're talking about their non-conference games. The other one, of course, we know is at the end with Clemson. How worried are you about the Gamecocks not really having tasted a true test before Mississippi State arrives?
Yeah, that's a good point, because when you look at Lenoris's first year, right, he played against ODU, and then everyone was like, oof, I don't know about this kid, because the first game nerves were just start to finish. And then he, you know, drops however many points he had against Kentucky the week later, and that was a total shock. And then last year, it sort of felt like a little bit of an up and down, right? They kind of were tested against Virginia Tech. SC State didn't, and then, in my opinion, just did not show up in any way, shape, or form against Vanderbilt on home field at night in Williams-Brice Stadium. I think that can't happen again, right? Yeah, it's not a night game, but it's a home game at Willie B. It's an important year, and I do think things really need to click week one and two. A lot of South Carolina's problems, and I don't mean to keep harping on the youth, but it's just a really, you know, a big factor that hurt them last year, where, you know, you were talking to players in November and they were like, yeah, we need to find an identity. Like, you got to find an identity in August. And I think that that's a point of emphasis that they have in training camp this year that hopefully, for their sake, will help them kind of ease that gap, because you do make a great point where, you know, Minnesota is a much different opponent than Townsend beforehand, to kind of be prepared for what the SEC brings.
I feel like these are the two coaches, Jeff Lebby and Shane Beamer, that you said prior to the season, who are on the hot seat in this conference. These are the two guys. These are one, two, however order you want to put them in. I've been saying for the past few weeks, if Mississippi State can beat Minnesota, whatever happens at South Carolina can just kind of happen. If they win, they lose, it's fine. Bounce back the next week, you're okay. What is the mood in Columbia if Mississippi State beats South Carolina?
Yeah, I think it's honestly one of their biggest games of the season four, because I think if you say, you know, you're 2-0, you lose to Mississippi State, then you're 2-1 going to Alabama. And it sort of, you look at like, okay, miracles have to happen. It's college football. We've seen crazy things happen. We've seen, you know, teams underperform, lose to an opponent, you know, beat a really great one the following week. You know, I think South Carolina has to beat Mississippi State. I know that just sounds kind of simple and plain, but I think it's a game where I'm not saying that because Mississippi State is so much worse. I think it's two, you know, really talented teams, but I think you need to be 3-0 heading into Alabama if you're Shane Beamer fighting for his job. Now, I probably think his hot seat is a little colder than other people do. I just think there's a lot of factors, one being their basketball coach is also on the hot seat and plays a season later. There's factors there. There's financial elements to it all, but
Only so much
sir,
money.
yeah, exactly. And those are two hefty buyouts.
Yeah.
So I do think that it's a must-win game for a lot of, you know, reasons, but the main being you're kind of in good shape, kind of to your point you made about Mississippi State. If you're, you know, 3-0 heading into Alabama, expectations are you're not going to beat Alabama. You look really great if you beat Alabama, and you set yourself up for what's, you know, a very hard October, which is at Florida, at Oklahoma, with Tennessee, the home game in between.
Something about hard Octobers. Mississippi State's October is Alabama at LSU, Oklahoma at Texas. So the month of October, Halloween, a month of horrors. It's going to be that way for both of these teams, it seems. All right. Thanks so much, Lulu. We appreciate your time here on the podcast. We'll talk to you again in, I guess, about 4 weeks, 3 weeks from now, when we get ready to preview this one. Lulu Kesson from the Greenville News. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Just from the unbiased observer role, Kamario Taylor versus Lenora Sellers should be a lot of fun. This should be a heavyweight fight with a lot of haymakers, big plays, long runs from the quarterback position, big throws. But these guys have big arms. This could be a very exciting football game. And as I mentioned, you know, all the nation's attention that day. When you look at the week three schedule, yes, we're all looking at Ole Miss LSU, but also that week, Alabama, Florida State, which I mean, there's some interest there. You saw we also what happened last year. Arkansas, Georgia. I don't think it's super interesting, but Auburn, Florida is a very interesting game to me. Very interesting. Kentucky at Texas A&M that day, that's got a little spice to it. And Vandy, NC State. You know, the last couple of years, Vandy has been able to beat an ACC opponent, and that's given them a lot of juice. We'll see if it happens again. And then you have this game, which for both coaches is just so massive. If Lebby is 3-0, if he can beat Minnesota and South Carolina, State really does feel like they'll be off and running. And at that point, you start talking about, like, this is a team that they could pull one of these upsets in October and watch out at the end of the year with the Egg Bowl. That's not a gimme for Ole Miss. You know, 1-2 Mississippi State, and it's who's going to replace Jeff Lebby. 2-1, if he loses this game, the 2-1 equation for me, you have to beat Minnesota. If you beat Minnesota and you lose South Carolina, I think you're okay. You go back, you beat Missouri the next week, you're 3-1. Everybody's fine. State needs this game, though. And so does Shane Beamer. A loss here would be catastrophic for the Gamecocks, I think. So there's a lot on the line. It's not the stakes are not as high as Ole Miss LSU, but they are awfully high. The winner of this game is going to be in a good spot. The loser of this game might lose his job. Simple as that. We'll see what happens with them health-wise. It looks like Dylan Stewart's going to be back. That's a negative for Mississippi State. They would like to avoid facing one of the top pass rushers in the country. They're going to really need that offensive line. We're going to learn so much about this offensive line in the first three games because they play a team they should dominate in week one, and then the next 2 weeks they play two of the best pass rushers in the country. And if they can't stop them, it's going to be tough. So a lot to learn from Mississippi State in those first three games. This game with South Carolina, I'm really looking forward to watching it. I think it's going to be a really fun game. I think it's going to be a game that, you know, when they're doing the SEC Network highlights, they'll lead with Ole Miss LSU, no question about it, right? But the next thing can be like, but the game of the day was in Columbia, as Mississippi State and South Carolina were dropping bombs on each other. I could absolutely see that being the case. All right, tomorrow's show, Minnesota preview. Carlo should be back. Carlo just out today, had some doctor's appointments, and we just couldn't connect. So that's fine. He's fine. In case anybody's, he's fine. Just had an appointment. Nothing wrong with Carlo today. But he'll be back tomorrow. We'll do the Minnesota preview, plus maybe have some more information regarding these the legalities and things of that nature. Maybe we'll find a football topic to talk about as well. Talk to you guys tomorrow. For Carla Barone, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder Lighting here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.